Nationwide, this is the MLWRadio.com network.
Hello and welcome to a new episode of the Eastern Lariat Podcast, your show for news, notes, reviews and opinions here on the MLW Radio Network. I'm your host Strigger. I'm in the spirit of Christmas. The German Christmas markets are open again. And Dylan, how are Christmas preparations going for you?
Strigger, it is the Christmas spirit where I'm at. I put up some Christmas things in my house, some lights, some garland, some decorations and things of that nature. I have a little Santa Claus somewhere in the house. So everything except the tree. I haven't got the tree up yet. But when I get the tree up, it will be very glorious. What's your favorite Christmas song? You know, to talk about the holiday spirits, that's the one thing that's always a big part of the day for me. What is your favorite Christmas song?
You know, I always have a bet every year with a friend of mine. The bet is whoever listens to Last Christmas first has to pay the other one a beer. So over the last couple of years, Last Christmas has grown on me because of that bet.
I see. That's a very interesting bet. How did that come about? Because that's very
well
random.
Well, it came about because you can't be anywhere around Christmas time without listening to Last Christmas. So it was kind of a challenge for the both of us.
I see. That's a cool one. I can definitely see that. I could go to old school with Deck the Halls and Jingle Bells and all that crap. But when the one thing I do plan on doing for Christmas this year, besides that, is where I live in a city called Clarksville right now, Clarksville, Tennessee, as some people would know. And it's known for having a very big river that runs through it. And according to the river walk they have right next to it, they light the whole thing up with Christmas lights, and anyone can just walk through it and admire all of the lights, the festivities, and it'll be probably pretty cold. But I don't know if this is known as much for me, but the cold doesn't bother me as much, so I have no problem walking through the whole thing at night, and it should be a great time. I'm really looking forward to Christmas this year. I'm going to be seeing some family I haven't seen in, 6 or 7 years almost at this point. So I'm really excited for the holiday season this year. I'm really in a good mood. I've had some good days recently, and I'm really looking forward to this year as well.
Yeah, that's great. So no, yeah, I'm looking forward to Christmas as well. I'm going home to see my parents. My mom recently got a new knee, and she's in rehab right now, getting back on her feet. You know. So she's coming home on Tuesday, and my dad and I, we bought a Christmas tree last week, and so she told us to not decorate it yet because she wants to do it. So so we didn't go any further than buying the Christmas tree.
Well, okay. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I like decorating the tree too, or I used to. I don't really do it as much anymore, but still. The tree is a big thing. It's a part of the holidays. It's like bringing nature inside of your house.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I have fond memories of when I was younger, whenever there would be presents of the tree. You know, usually they would put them up weeks before Christmas, which was a bad idea with me, because I would sneakily try to tear a little piece out of whatever present I was eyeing, and I would do it repeatedly, but they wouldn't notice. But I would still try to get just a little piece, just enough to where I would know what it is. So that was one of the things I remember about the Christmas tree, Strigger. So it's very important to decorate the tree. And I hopefully you and all the listeners and everyone have a great Christmas. I really hope that. Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, wherever you are, whatever you celebrate. It's awesome, man. And I can't wait for this show to talk about Japanese pro wrestling, which is a holiday in and of itself for us.
Oh, yeah, it is. So Merry Christmas to everybody listening. Hope you have a great holiday season. And, you know, around this time of the year, the Tokyo Sports Awards are awarded, and Tokyo Sports They are a newspaper that relies heavily on what you would call kayfabe. In Japan, people look at wrestling a little bit differently than they do, for example, in the USA. They really still are what you would say protect the business. This is a phrase that is really that they really make use of in Japan, because it's still treated as a sport. And I know that some people will laugh about when I say that, because that treating of a sport is kind of funny when you look at some promotions and how they handle the wrestling and have comedy matches and so on and so on. But still, wrestling overall is covered in the regular sports papers, and one of those is Tokyo Sports. And in recent years, there were always people getting angry about the Tokyo Sports Awards. But I think in recent years, the awards they have given out have been pretty accurate. And I gotta say, this year, I think they were pretty accurate too. How about you?
No. Did you see these awards?
Yes, I did.
This trigger?
Yeah, I did.
Was it accurate when the Singh brothers got votes for the tag team of the year?
Obviously not, but there are more categories than that. One category, of course, was way off, but we're going to talk about that. But overall, I can make cases for a lot of people here.
I guess. Yeah. There were some that I thought were good, and some that I thought were so laughably crazy.
But Dylan, you always have that in any kind of awards. That is
true.
You always have those cases.
Honestly, these awards come across to me like a joke awards, to be honest with you, a lot of the times. It just seems like there's nothing legitimate about them.
Well, they are. But still... When you look at those awards, there's nothing quote unquote real about them. There is a voting process, yeah, but
that is true.
You can tell that the awards are given out to the promotions that just have had the best year, and they are getting the awards because they had a good year. So this year we had All Japan and New Japan that got most awards here, and that's showing you that both promotions had a good year.
Yeah, and that's fine. I have no problem with that. It's just some of the things and the awards themselves and the people that they give the awards to are highly questionable,
yeah,
in my opinion. And don't really hold up, and also don't hold up exactly to their own vision of these awards, because obviously all of these awards are kind of purposely vague in nature, so they can give, you know, they can give them to whoever suits their purpose in a year, essentially. But some of these don't have the same meaning year by year. Sometimes,
yes. Yeah. But let's just start here from the top. Most valuable player for the second year in a row, Tetsuya Naito of New Japan Pro Wrestling, challenger for Katsushika Okada's IWGP Heavyweight title in the Tokyo Dome at Wrestle Kingdom 12. Naito now has joined the club of those who have won the MVP award at least twice. Others are Inoki, Tsuruta, Tenryu, and Okada, I think. I may have missed someone here. So for the second year in a row, after 2016, when he won the IWGP Heavyweight title for the first time, and now in 2017 he has won the G1 Climax, Tetsuya Naito was named the most valuable player in Japanese wrestling.
Yes, Jurgen, I think this one, although I kind of talked about how their award process is questionable at times, but not the process, but some of their awards they give out. This one is not. This was a fine, solid choice for MVP when it comes to the Japanese pro wrestling scene. You look at what Naito meant to the company, especially locally, you know, in Japan, I guess you could say. I think Naito really was the most popular wrestler in Japan, and if you were to go based on that, I cannot see any argument that Naito was not the most popular wrestler in Japan to the fans of New Japan, and obviously that means pro-res in general, when you think New Japan is the biggest company. But I really liked his year in ring, obviously. And I think pretty much everyone knows, no matter what happens, whether it's these awards or whatever awards you're going to see, I think most will have it either come down to Tetsuya Naito or Kazuchika Okada. And I think this one came down to that again.
Yeah. Yeah. Who are those who you would nominate for this award?
Yeah, so with these awards, I know we were going into this with the awards in mind to base the show around, which I think is awesome. I do love the idea of awards and things of that nature. I think it usually gives some good discussion, and that's my favorite part. More so than the winners, whether it's this, the Observer, whatever award you want to give. I think the discussion is the main part that I care about.
Exactly.
And yeah, and for me, I for each award, I nominated 5 different candidates. So you will, and I will go from 5 to 1. I rank them. And my first nominee, because when I look at MVP specifically, I don't consider that to be, quote-unquote, the best in-ring wrestler purely. I think MVP is what they mean to their company, much like on a sports team in awards. I always say this in basketball when these kind of things come up. I think MVP should be who truly was the most valuable to their team, and in this case, the most valuable to their promotion. And
yeah, that's the same approach I basically took.
Yeah, exactly. That's what like most outstanding awards are for pure in-ring and, exactly. And things of that nature. So for me, the MVP, the first nominee I had was Konosuke Takeshita from DDT. And not only is he an MVP in terms of what he meant to DDT, but he is the MVP for me for what he means to me watching DDT, because I think in that company specifically, there are shows where the comedy hits, and then there's shows where the comedy doesn't hit for me. And I need someone like Takeshita on those shows to save them and make them better to me. Not that he's the most popular among DDT fans or anything like that, but to me, I think he's had such a great year in the ring. He's really made me enjoy DDT much more than I would have if he was not in the main event scene and not having those great matches that he had. Do you want me to go through all 5, or are we going to take time?
Well, I can tell you that I got Konosuke Takeshita on my list here as well.
Oh, cool.
Because he has been on top of DDT for most of the year, and he's just not only great in-ring, but I think he's also just a great personality and is a great ambassador for DDT. That's why I have him on my list. I can also see that you could get into a discussion about Kento Miyahara still being the MVP. Mm-hmm. Because Kento Miyahara started the year in All Japan as the Triple Crown champion, was champion until May. He regained the championship for 1 month, so he was champion twice this year, and still in 2017, just like in 2016, the growth of the company has been built around Kento Miyahara.
That's true.
And that's what a most valuable player, in my estimation, is.
Mm-hmm. I can definitely see that. I also think Ishikawa had a really nice title reign for those 3 months that they had. Obviously, we went over the booking up and down of All Japan this year. I disagreed with him losing the title in the first place, but there's no doubt, despite all that, he's really starting to rebound, especially when it comes to the tag league and everything in All Japan. I think he's someone that definitely means a lot to his company. I think last year he was hands down, he would have been my number one for MVP, but this year he's definitely a well-deserving nominee.
Yeah, and if you just keep looking at what they mean to their respective company, there is no way around Shotaro Ashino.
Hey, he was in my nominees too.
Because WrestleOne. WrestleOne, on a small scale, they are doing very good work. And Shotaro Ashino really is the shining star of what WrestleOne is trying to do right now. He is the champion. He is the guy they have there. I think he's been wrestling for 3 years or so, for 2 years. It's pretty crazy how great he already is. And if you haven't checked out WrestleOne in a while, please do that, because WrestleOne is improving very much and have a lot of young talented guys. So Ashino debuted in 2015, which also makes him eligible for Best Rookie. And yeah, just an awesome performer overall.
Yeah, I love him. He's a really great in-ring performer. And like you said, he is exactly what you want an ace to be, I feel like. And watching Wrestle 1, I think he played a big role in both of our perspective viewings of Wrestle 1 this year and many others. I think without him, he wouldn't have gotten Wrestle 1 the buzz that it had, even in our circle. And even on a show I was guest hosting on recently, we had talked off air about Ashino and Wrestle 1 and what he means. And he really is. Even if you're not a fan of Wrestle 1, you can watch Ashino's matches.
Yeah.
And you'll really be impressed, you know?
So recently, Wrestle 1 had a title match. Shotaro Ashino defended against Takanori Ito. And I just mentioned Ashino debuted in 2015, and Takanori Ito just debuted on September 18, 2016. So a little over 1 year in pro wrestling. They headlined a show in Korakuen Hall that had the best attendance in a long, long time for Wrestle 1. They broke the 1,000 fans barrier once again here. Before, they had draws around 700 and 900 people, and they broke the 1,000 people barrier here. So, as I said, on the scale of Wrestle 1, Ashino is the guy.
Absolutely, and I definitely think Wrestle 1 is a company you have to watch out for in the future. With all, they have a lot of young and rookie talent that we talked about in the past, and Ashino is the leader of that. And I think we're going to see, we've already started to see it pay off a little bit for Wrestle 1, and I think it can only get better in 2018-2019. And I'm really looking forward to see what he does going forward.
Yeah. Do we have anyone else?
Yeah, I have a couple more I wanted to talk about. Okay. I made five lists. I'm going to go with my list. Ashino was my number three, Takeshita was number five. Mm-hmm. I wanted to shout out a Joshi wrestler who I think is very valuable to their promotion, and she is Risa Sarah for Ice Ribbon.
Oh, yeah.
One, because in terms of an ace of a company, she pretty much won the title at the very end of last year, and that was kind of her pass-the-torch moment in the company. You obviously had Tsukasa Fujimoto, and it really came down to who the ace would be between her and Tsukushi. And they chose Risa Sarah, which obviously turned out to be pretty smart, considering how things happened in 2017. Unfortunately, I really wanted Tsukushi to win at the time. But Risa, she is not only MVP because her in-ring work is not up to that level of either of the past two people we talked about, or really any of the top Joshi wrestlers, but she represents herself as the ace of Ice Ribbon, which is always up there in terms of popularity when it comes to the Joshi promotions, always does well at Korakuen. And she's also one of the only Joshi wrestlers to do death matches. She always puts herself on the line with the company. That's one of her favorite styles of wrestling. She always tries her best and is a great ace for the company,
well,
I feel like.
It's not exactly true that she's the only one doing death matches because...
And I didn't say the only. I said one of the only.
Oh, one of the only. Okay.
Yeah, not the only. But okay. She's one of the few that do death matches in Joshi. She just had a recent one against nine people, I think, with all sorts of guys and girls. I think Masaoka, Jun Kasai, the Yankee Nichu Kinju were all in there, and all sorts of people. And it was a crazy match. She was doing very violent things, to be honest. But she's also fits well as the role of an idol in terms of the ace of the company. Has been very successful as the Ice Cross Infinity Champion. Her tag team, Missouri Revolution, with Maya Yuki, is steadily improving. Ice is in good hands with her. And you can also say hi to her on Twitter, because her English isn't that bad.
That's cool. Ice Ribbon is another of those companies. They do pretty well when they go to Korakuen Hall. Mm-hmm. And they just have a very talented roster, and Risa Sarah and Maya Yuhiki. Those are very talented wrestlers there. And glad that you mentioned the Joshi side of the Tokyo Sports Awards, because that is the next award we have to talk about, because for the third year, Io Shirai was named she got the Women's Wrestling Grand Prix, which is kind of the MVP award for Joshi wrestling. And I think there is something to say about that.
Yeah. Remember what I said, these awards sometimes make crazy decisions.
Yes.
Like, this was not a crazy, crazy decision, but definitely one I vehemently disagree with, to be honest with you. Io, first of all, everyone kind of pointed to her injury and her time off. She also had a tryout with WWE that's very well speculated on that made her take some time off. You can see some pictures of there on Twitter. So very weird. Whatever they were doing in that tryout was weird as crap, in my opinion. But they had those tryouts. She had the injury, so she missed some time. And also, more importantly, if you follow Stardom, this was her year to take a step back, to be honest with you, in the company, to pass the torch along to Mayu Iwatani. And obviously, she got injured, and things kind of fell apart in a lot of ways. But Io was not even the MVP of her company, to be honest with you, and was not positioned to be. She was like the leader of Queen's Quest, someone that can, kind of like the top utility player, someone who's really good, but is not meant to be the focus point of the company or the best in-ring worker. So I don't understand how they did that, but at least it was better than who they voted for number two, who did not have a single match in 2017. So, you know, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about with the Tokyo Sports Awards and why I don't take them that serious when they do stuff like that. But yeah, Io, she did okay. She had a good year, but I don't even think she had a great year, to be honest with you. And I definitely would not have been my pick.
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, the awards pretty much go to promotions that have had a good year or promotions that are in the focus of the public. And you mentioned Ice Ribbon. We talked about Ice Ribbon here on the show before. We talked about Sendai Girls here on the show. We talked about OZ Academy on the show. And all of those promotions have had better draws than Stardom, for example, this year. But because Stardom has this international flavor to them through their Stardom World network and through their international alliances, Stardom is much more in the focus of the public. And you can still argue that Io Shirai, even though she wasn't positioned to be the ace of Stardom this year, that she still is the biggest star in Yoshi Wrestling.
Yeah, if you just go by who is the most famous.
Even though there are wrestlers on top that draw much better than she does.
Yeah, that's crazy how that works. But Io, she's a good wrestler. I don't want to disparage her too much. I just thought this wasn't her year to win, really. It just shows, and the Joshi Award has been littered with bad voting. People like Saki Akai and things like that. It's obvious that they don't really know what they're doing when they vote. I think that's just someone they know. And she's very pretty, and that's really what it kind of comes down to more than anything, is kind of how I take it. When you vote for somebody who has no matches in the top three, it's clear that this isn't like the best wrestler or the best draw or anything. It's just Io is someone they know. She was famous. She started wrestling a long time ago, you know, years ago, probably, honestly, probably almost a decade at this point when she first started, 2007, 2008, with her sister. So, they didn't put that much thought into it. And I don't really take this award as anything serious to them or anything like that.
Yeah, so for example, in 2014, they couldn't decide for a Yoshi wrestler. That was pretty crazy back then because it's not like Yoshi wrestling wasn't around in 2014. And even then, Io Shirai got the most votes. So maybe not the most knowledgeable people to vote for a Yoshi award. And that is clearly visible when you look at the fact that Hiroyo Matsumoto got zero votes for the Women's Wrestling Grand Prix. And Hiroyo Matsumoto, in my estimation, is the one that should have gotten the award this year. For multiple reasons, I didn't put her in the MVP category because, as we both said, MVP has to mean a lot to the promotion that he or she is wrestling in, and Hiroyo Matsumoto doesn't have this home promotion. But she's around in Stardom, she's around in Sendai Girls, she's around in Oz Academy, and she has had many, many successful matches in those companies. She has had not only successful matches and title wins, but also very good matches. And with Yoshiko, she drew the biggest house in Yoshi Wrestling this year. So, in my estimation, that qualifies her for receiving the Women's Wrestling Award here.
I totally agree with you, Striga. She was my number one as well. Hiroyo Four Belts, as some people know her on Twitter. She had many title reigns this year. and like you said, had the number one drawing main event for Joshi. I'd also had my Joshi match of the year versus Hikaru Shida at the OZ Academy August 20th show, which was an incredible match, my favorite women's match of the year. And that match with Yoshiko drew a great house for OZ Academy. And she's had a lot of good matches. On my Twitter, I actually posted a thread of all of the top five that I had and all of their matches that I would highly recommend. And she, I think, had the most of all of them. And she really means so much to the Joshi scene. Even the matches that would not be rated as great on their own, she had a lot of great performances in, like her match with Akino in July 16th, I believe, which was a very strong match that she performed very strongly in. Her team with Team Jungle, with Jungle Kiona, is very well received in Stardom. And she can go really anywhere and do great things wherever she goes against any opponent, and is the most versatile worker in Joshi this year. And she was my number one. Did you have any other people that you put on your list? For?
Yes, I do. Other people on my list are Shihiro Hashimoto, because she is positioned to be the next ace of Sendai Girls. She has had three title reigns with the Sendai Girls World Championship, I think. Now, she has beaten a lot of very famous Yoshi wrestlers this year, and so she can be in position here for the Yoshi Award as well, and I think she was in the voting too. And the other one I have is Toni Storm.
Oh, wow.
Since Toni Storm, besides Mayu Iwatani, has been positioned as one of the top women in Stardom. She won the Stardom Grand Prix challenge for the title then, and in this incident that happened with Mayu, she won the Wonder of Stardom title. The World of Stardom title, not the Wonder of Stardom title. And she took the took the title to other countries, and she also is a very good ambassador for Yoshi wrestling, I think. So I can make a case for her as well.
Yeah, she's an interesting person. She, like you said, she wrestles all over the place. She's very famous worldwide and internationally. I don't have a problem with her being champion, although obviously it came across as more of like an accident, to be honest. But she also had a problem with Io as well, injuring her in her match as well. Toni, she's okay in the ring, but I think her greatest value is, like you said, more as someone who can take the title across the world and be very good. I have no problem with that. Shihiro, I totally agree with you on. I agree with everything you said. My only problem with her, I think she would have been even higher, but they kind of jerk her around in terms of the title and how they book it sometimes. I think if they give her a more consistent kind of rub, I think it would be awesome, but her in-ring is spectacular.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing that was lacking for her, the consistent run on top.
Exactly.
It always feels like a start-and-stop kind of run with her.
Yeah, totally agree.
Well, on Twitter we asked around to get your takes on the Tokyo Sports Awards as well, and we got some answers here on Twitter, for example, from the user at WeAllFalter. Hey there, I met him in England this year too, so he's very knowledgeable about Yoshi wrestling as well, and he nominated Arisa Nakajima.
Yeah, she was my number two behind Matsumoto, and she's someone that, when I thought about the year, I thought Hashimoto would be my number two, but as the more I looked at it and all the great matches that Nakajima, as well as Fujimoto, who is my number three, they're really kind of interlinked in a lot of ways, their tag team, which is awesome. But Nakajima, I think, is slightly ahead of Fujimoto in the tag team. Nakajima, to me, has had so many great matches, and she's another one that you can't really say is an MVP for a promotion, but because she wrestles all over the place, obviously. She represents Seed Ring and means a lot to that company, obviously, but she's had so many great matches throughout the year with her tag team with Fujimoto, her series with Avid Rival, all three I would highly recommend in August. She's had great matches against all sorts of people. I can't wait. And also, another thing about her that's great is that she also has another match coming up with Fujimoto that hopefully we can all see, and it's going to be pretty awesome in all likelihood. She's someone that you got to check out if you've never seen Joshi, because she, much like Hashimoto, and this is something I would say for Chihiro Hashimoto as well, her style is not necessarily what you think of when you think of Joshi. But she's a spectacular in-ring performer. I think you can definitely make the case she's the best pure wrestler in Joshi. Even if she didn't have the best year of a Matsumoto, she, I think, might be the most talented of any Joshi wrestler. So that was a great pick.
Yeah, and a lot of people also named Hiroyo Matsumoto here in their voting. So that speaks for itself, I guess.
Yeah, totally. Matsumoto, unquestionably the MVP, I think, in Joshi this year.
Yep. Next up, we have the award for the best match of the year, which is called the Best Bout here in the Tokyo Sports Awards. And the match that won was Katsushika Okada versus Kenny Omega from the Tokyo Dome this year. And you know, that's totally fine with me. I can see that was supposed to be an epic match, and it wasn't my match of the year, but I can totally see it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. Even at the time, I thought I was kind of a dissenter on that match, on the Tokyo Dome match. I wasn't a huge fan of it, to be honest with you. But considering how these awards work and what they're meant for, in the kayfabe world of wrestling, that was an epic. And honestly, I think a lot of times these matches for Best Bout, it's the most meaningful match. We saw like Okada and Tenryu
exactly
have the best bout a few years ago, and so I think I have no problem at all with this winning. I think it makes perfect sense for their voting base, but it was not my match of the year at all, to be honest. What'd you have, Strig?
So, for the match of the year, my definite match of the year was Katsushika Okada versus Katsuyori Shibata for the IWGP Heavyweight title on April 9, and at that time, because of Shibata's horrible injury, I wasn't sure if I was able to vote for that match to be the best match of the year. But now, with a little time having passed by, I think it's exactly that reason that I can't mention it as the match of the year, because it will forever have this story that it was Katsuhiro Shibata's final match. And it always will have a special aura around it because of that. And of course, it was just a fantastic, fantastic wrestling match. The play to the strengths of both men, and was very different from what Okada usually does in his title defenses. So that was my pick for match of the year.
Yes, Striga, I completely agree with you on that one. I think in terms of meaningful matches, this one is the most meaningful, and it also was a spectacular wrestling match at the time. That was actually my number two pick in terms of, because I voted purely on in-ring, not necessarily, but I think that's right up there. I think if you said that was the best in-ring match, I can't argue with that at all. I think that's a great choice, and it's something that, like I said, it was my number two. My number one was the match with Yuji Okabayashi versus Hideki Suzuki from Endless Survivor.
That's my number two.
Yes, yeah, see, so we had the same top two, just flip-flop. I just thought that was almost a perfect wrestling match, as close to one as you can get, in terms of everything they did. And I loved how it was such an unexpected styles clash that somehow totally worked perfectly.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of that was due to Hideki, obviously, but also Okabayashi really performed so well in his role. I think these two blended together so awesomely that I would highly recommend it to anybody who hasn't seen Big Japan or thinks Hideki Suzuki just wrestles a bunch of bad guys or is boring. I would totally throw them to that Okabayashi match, and I think that's something that really anybody can enjoy and appreciate. More than enjoy, I think they can appreciate as a great match on a certain level. So I voted that number one, and I'm happy that we had the same top two, Striga. Just flip-flopped. I think both are totally worthy. Do you have any matches you want to shout out real quick before we move on that you also nominated?
Yes, I nominated Kenno versus Katsuyuki Nakajima from the NOAH Global League, which was an amazing match. I also have another one with Kenno versus Goshi Ozaki in the Global League Finals. Kenno had an amazing run in the Global League.
And
I have Kento Miyahara versus Suwama for the Triple Crown.
Which one?
The one from October.
Right. That was a great match.
Yes.
Oh yeah, that
fantastic
that was a
really match. Suwama, that was the best I've seen from him in years.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with you. I think Suwama has a ton of momentum going into next year. I think he's really almost entering the best part of his career, I think, is possible with the performances we've seen of him recently. I totally agree with all three of your picks. I think those are all great matches. There's been so much great wrestling this year.
And I got another one that will probably make my top 10 list for Voice of Wrestling this year. It's Tanahashi versus Naito from Wrestle Kingdom.
That was such a spectacular match and moment to me. The moment where Naito fist bumped Tanahashi on the chest was so symbolic to me. I just remember thinking that was just awesome.
It was.
The match was great. Match was great too.
Exactly. And looking at some of the messages I got here on Twitter, some people also mentioned Okada versus Omega from Dominion, the 60-minute time limit draw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people like those matches. I thought that was kind of the same as their Tokyo Dome match. I think we even named an episode after something I said about it. So
the director's cut of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yes, exactly. A lot of the names are quotes of mine on this show. But that match, I basically thought it was kind of the same as the Tokyo Dome match, which I thought it was a little better, to be honest, but not that much better. But I totally can see why people thought that was a great match. And if you love the first match, you should totally love the second match.
Yeah.
I feel for them too. But I have a couple of nominations I want to throw out real quick. You did a great job. I love all of those matches that you said. I think they are totally worthy. I had a bit of an alternative picks of mine. The first match I thought of when I was doing this, I definitely thought of those matches with Suwama and Miyahara, as well as Nakajima and Kenno, which I thought were right up there. My fifth nominee was Kai and Naoya Nomura taking on Strong Big Japan at the All Japan 827 show. I thought that was a spectacular tag team match that, honestly, I think it could have been one of the best matches of the year. And if they had just went with Kai and Nomura, even though that wouldn't have made sense, it would have been such a feel-good moment. I would have lost my mind if that had happened. But Strong BJ, I thought, is such an awesome tag team. We'll talk about them a little bit more when the Tag Team of the Year award comes in. But I thought they had such a great run in All Japan, and this was the top of all of their matches. That was my favorite All Japan match this year. Right up there with Miyahara and Suwama. I think it's very up in the air. My other pick was Ibushi and Tanahashi from Power Struggle, which I thought was a tremendous match. We just talked about that recently, so please listen to our episode last month about that. I think that may have been the very last episode we did. And my number three was Atsushi Kotoke and Naomichi Marufuji taking on Goshi Ozaki and Maybach Taniguchi right at the beginning of the year, January 7th. When I was rewatching all of these matches that I wanted to kind of get a good feel on, this was the match that stood out, jumped out to me, arguably most. I thought this was such an amazing performance by Kotoke, particularly, and the crowd rallied behind him. And his standoff with Go, there's like a 2 or 3 minute standoff right before the finish between those two that I think might be my favorite 2 minutes of wrestling out of any match this year. And I thought that everybody did a great job. It's totally epitomized what Noah the Reborn is all about, and totally got things off to the right start. I love that match a lot. I think it's highly underrated. And I think it's something everyone needs to check out. If you haven't seen Noah or haven't seen that match, you really should go for it. It's January 7th. Check it out. It's an amazing match, in my opinion.
Yeah, those are some great choices. And if you haven't checked out those matches, please do. And next up, we have the award for the best tag team. It's the best tag team prize. This year, it was won by the Violence Giants, as they are known now, Suwama and Shuji Ishikawa. So, they have been very impressive since they have formed a tag team. They have started to be a tag team on October 11 of 2017. So, they have just very recently started to be a tag team. They immediately won the Real World Tag League, which I think we predicted, and which is the logical and, in my opinion, the best choice they could make. They won the tag league with some great matches. So, in the grand scheme of those Tokyo Sports Awards, I think you can make a case for that. But since they haven't been teaming all year long and really didn't do anything together before, there are other teams that I see have a better case here. For example, Daisuke Sekimoto and Yuji Kobayashi. They were the Big Japan Tag Team Champions for a long time this year, and they also won the All Japan Tag Team title before Yuji Okabayashi got hurt. So they are always, always, every year, a great choice for our Tag Team of the Year. I also got Roppongi 3K because they made a very, very impressive debut as a tag team in New Japan Pro Wrestling, won the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team title right away, and also won the Junior Super Junior Tag Tournament. They are an amazing unit. And third team I have here is Okami of Daichi Hashimoto and Hideyoshi Kamitani, mostly because they were in a kayfabe sense very successful. They won the Big Japan Tag League, and they went into the finals of the Real World Tag League.
Yeah, you know, those teams, that's my problem with the Tokyo Sports pick, is that they haven't been teaming very long, but they're awesome together.
Yeah,
so I really love their team. I hope they win the titles and have like a year-long title reign next year, because I was really impressed with what we saw from them together. And despite that, though, I just think it's kind of silly to give awards to people that have been teaming for 3 months, you know? But besides that, though, I love them as a team. Roppongi 3K, similar problem to them, but I also agree they're very good. And also, I think something to note with Roppongi 3K is that not only have they had great in-ring work, much like an MVP, like an Ashino or a Risa Sera or Takeshita or whoever, they've elevated that whole division from basically nothing to actually kind of being valuable and meaning something going into the Tokyo Dome in just those 3 months. So I think they mean something to that division, they mean something to the company, and they've accomplished things. And they've had great matches, too. I'm a big fan of those guys. They were on my list, but they just fell out of my top five. My top five that I had... Oh, and I would like to mention... I'll just mention them in a second. My number five was Marufuji and Maybach of Pro Wrestling NOAH. I think they had a really strong year. If you've been following NOAH, they've been a great tag team and helped along, not only in terms of their matches, but they've helped along Go Toge, which I'll probably talk about in a second. They've had great matches with them. They've helped along everyone. And they've been great representatives for the company as well in terms of holding the tag titles and giving Marufuji something to do. I really like them. My second team, also from from Pro Wrestling NOAH, was Double X of Ishimori and Hiroki. I love their tag team feud with Ratels. I think they have awesome matches. They don't mean as much as Marufuji and Maybach, but I love their in-ring so much. I think everybody should give them a shot. They're my number four. My number three was Strong BJ for all the reasons you mentioned, and as I mentioned in their match with Kai and Nomura. They're awesome wherever they go. I think Okabayashi has had an incredible year, Sekimoto as well. My number two team was the best friends team of Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto in Joshi. They snuck up on me because I didn't really consider them at first, but when I looked back at all of their matches that they had, they've had a truly spectacular year. If you want to check out some of their matches, go to my Twitter. I'll probably retweet the Joshi match listings and go to Arisa Nakajima's page because I have a lot of matches for them on there. And my number one team was Go Toge of Go Shiozagi and Atsushi Katoge. I think they had the most memorable moments in terms of winning the Global Tag League, as well as the tag title win that they had. And I think they are an incredible tag team in terms of pure in-ring. Much like best friends, they also get an added bonus of being awesome as a tag team or rivals, which is very funny. I always like teams like that. Strong BJ, too. They've had really good, they go against each other really well in their tag team matches. I remember that match with Shingo in Big Japan, tournament?
Oh, yeah.
That was a great match. So I love teams. I think all three of my top threes are great tag team partners and also great enemies as well. So I love that little thing. But I love Go Toge, love Strong BJ, love all those teams.
Yeah, those are good choices as well. Can't argue with that. For best tag team, well, my Twitter page is loading right now. I was looking at the best tag team that the listeners voted for. For example, one team that was mentioned is Hayata and Yohei. Came into Pro Wrestling NOAH at the beginning of 2017, signed a contract there, and immediately gained a great following amongst the NOAH fans.
They feuded with Double X, which was on my top five. So a lot of their matches are the same matches Double X had, Ishimori and Hiroki. So they've had some really good matches this year.
Yeah, exactly. And, my Twitter page is not loading, so I will just go to the next award here. We have the We have actually two awards that I don't think we'll have very much to discuss about. First one being the Technique Award for Hideki Suzuki. And my take on that is, I can't argue with that.
This was the one I thought they got totally right.
Yeah.
To be honest with you. He's the man. He's a great wrestler and also a great technical wrestler. And honestly, like, sometimes the award kind of bounces around because you see people like Ishii and Okabayashi and Tomoki Honma in past years get nominated for this. But even still, so it's kind of like also the best non-kayfabe in-ring performer some years.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, I love Hideki Suzuki. So I have no problem with him getting the win. In fact, he was my number one as well. So what do you think, Strick?
Yeah. I really didn't make any more choices because it was just that clear to me that Hideki Suzuki is the number one here.
Yeah, I'll just shout out some people real quick that I nominated as well. And this was more of a more straight technique type nominations.
Yeah.
The best technical wrestler. And number five for me was Minoru Tanaka. Mm-hmm. Someone who's had a great year all over the place and also was on the Kaki Ride show that Hideki Suzuki was on as well. He had a very short match, but it was very good. Number four was Daisuke Harada, the leader of Rat Tails with Yohei and Hayata. He's a great all-around wrestler. Maybe not necessarily technical, but he's someone that emphasizes every kind of style of wrestling in one person.
Yeah.
Number three was Shotaro Ashino, who I think is an awesome technical wrestler and someone who specifically, I think, goes out of his way to be a more streamlined wrestler. Not someone who's going to have a lot of flashy moves, but just a great, great, solid wrestler. And my number two behind Hideki was Hikaru Sato in All Japan Pro Wrestling, who I think very much emphasizes a technical wrestling style, someone who has great mat work and submissions, someone who has many Jujigatame variations that he uses. And I loved his match with Minoru Tanaka in All Japan, and I thought he had a really great run, both in as a singles and as a tag team with Aoki.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love all those guys. I think those are some of my favorite, my personal favorite wrestlers are on that list, because that's a style of wrestling I really love the most.
Yeah.
So good job, Tokyo Sports, getting with Hideki, but I think all of those names deserve recognition as well.
I want to mention one other name that's also in the junior division in All Japan Pro Wrestling, and someone who incorporates his judo extremely well, Koji Iwamoto, because he is just such a great wrestler with his judo influences, and this judo throw he has is just amazing.
Yeah, he used that in the junior league that they had in February. Yeah. Great effect. And that was awesome. I remember us specifically talking about that and how cool it was. You know, he's someone that kind of goes under the radar to a lot of people sometimes, and he really deserves a lot more recognition than he gets, along with Fuminori Abe in All Japan. I think those two really, the future is bright with those two guys on the undercard. I hope we see them rise up more in 2018.
Yep, totally. And then we got the Fighting Spirit Award. That is an award that's specifically for the more hard-hitting wrestlers and for those that in those hitting situations show what in Japanese wrestling is known as the Fighting Spirit. The Fighting Spirit Award this year went to Katsuyori Shibata. And for many reasons, I think this is the right choice. You can, of course, say that, you can argue that the style of wrestling that he goes is very dangerous and kind of questionable if you should award this kind of wrestling. But this is Japanese pro wrestling. It is about a fighting spirit, and there is no one else that I can think was in 2017 more deserving than Katsuyori Shibata.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people just took the award as fighting spirit in its literal sense, because of obviously his tragic injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I have, I honestly, even if that goes against the past spirit of the award or whatever, it's like, who cares? You know, it's the award. Like, let him have his award. He sacrificed his body in the ring to I have no problem at all giving an award like that for that reason. Especially, and what better award to give someone like that than the Fighting Spirit? You know, I have no problem with that. He was on my list. Joe Doering was on my list as well.
Yeah,
for overcoming his injury that he had, his brain cancer scare, his brain tumor scare that he had. He did a great thing to come back to the ring. I think I was really proud of him to win, and he's Triple Crown champion on top of it, so you have to give him major props. Is there anyone you really wanted to shout out for this? I think
If we go in the same direction with Katsuyori Shibata, I think we can also mention Yoshihiro Takayama.
He was on my list as well.
His horrible injury that happened to him, his cervical spine injury, and he's now fighting not to get back into the ring, but he's fighting to be able to move his body again. So,
yeah.
I think you can say that too, make a case for that as well.
Yeah, even worse than the other two injuries somehow. You know, it's crazy how you could see that happening. Yeah, prayers for Takayama, people.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, those two names, Shibata and Takayama, were mentioned a lot in the tweets that I got as well. So, I think.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Before we move on, is there anyone you think would win the award in terms of the? Because I think also hardest hitting and hardest working wrestler kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Is there anybody you would think of that just in terms of pure in ring work that would be this year?
Hardest
and
working.
Had, like, this year. Hardest working, hardest hitting, whatever you wanted to describe.
Well, I think one of the hardest working wrestlers in Japan still is Daisuke Sekimoto, because he's just wrestling all over the place. And he's just the great company guy for Big Japan, and he always delivers 100% in his matches.
I completely agree with you, and he to me is someone I always look at for an MVP type person, because I think he really means a lot to Big Japan in many ways. And him wrestling Hideki Suzuki early on really helped Hideki early on, and so he just does great stuff no matter what. My two picks for that were Tomohiro Ishii.
Mm-hmm.
Who obviously represents a hard-hitting style as well. Both of these two guys do. But also, he's someone that I'm always amazed with. His kind of grit and grind, if you will, for a Grizzlies fan. And the G1, you look at the end of the G1, you look at all of these guys that are always look like they're running out of gas by the end. They're all injured. You know they're all hurting. Especially this year, Goto and Naito were really injured, and Tanahashi as well. They were very injured through the course of the tournament, and everybody did. You had tape on people's arms and everything, but when you look at Ishii, it looked like he was just fine. but even that last match, somehow, he's like, wow, he doesn't even look that bad. He is just so tough, you know?
Yeah, and if you go in that direction a little further, you can also make a case for Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Tanahashi.
As you mentioned, he looked hurt in the G1 Climax, and we know that he's hurting very much, his back, and now he's out again.
Yeah.
So Tanahashi is really someone who he's still in the idea that he has is that he's still carrying the company and that he has to work, because that's the spirit he grew up with in wrestling.
And you know that he feels that way.
Yeah.
You know.
And someone that I think is very interesting was mentioned on Twitter here as well by the user Aussie Purezo. Yoshitatsu. Yoshitatsu, he came back. He had a very strong comeback with All Japan. At first, they positioned him pretty bad. We talked about it. Challenging for the Triple Crown right away, but now in the tag team with Kento Miyahara that he has, he became popular and he really worked his way back into a position that nobody thought he would get at the beginning of this year. And he also had this horrible injury that he came back from, and I think that's a viable choice here.
Oh, totally agree. I think that's a great pick. His tag league run totally redeemed himself, and I'm very happy that he was able to find that redemption, because he's someone that's faced a lot of criticism and a lot of things that he's had to go through. So I'm very happy for him. I think also in terms of pure in-ring, just in terms of what I consider like a hard-hitting, hard-working style, the last person was Atsushi Kotage again. I think he's someone that has sacrificed his body in Noah this year. Taking all sorts of punishment and also dealing out a lot of damage as well. I think his style is very reminiscent of an Ishii, just in a very small body.
Yeah.
That allowed him to have a lot of destructive matches for himself and his opponents. So he's someone that I think is very tough and very hardworking and very hard-hitting as well. I think those two, Kotage and Ishii, represent that spirit. And Yoshitatsu represents a combination of all those things. Not necessarily a hard-hitting worker, him and Tanahashi are more finesse style. They're actually, it's funny, they came up together, Tanahashi and Yoshitatsu, in many ways. And I think Tatsu kind of takes from Tanahashi in a lot of ways. But I think we're now finally seeing him reach what he can do in All Japan. I'm very happy to see that for Yoshitatsu.
Yeah, and if we're just sticking with Pro Wrestling Noah, we have to talk about Kenno too. I mentioned yep. Kenno versus Nakajima, which I think Alan called it a MMA match, and he usually isn't rating MMA matches, but he rated this MMA match 4 3/4. That was an incredible match, and Kenno took some beatings as well, and also gave out some incredible beatings.
Yeah, he's a heavy hitter. I just we'll talk about him a little more. I think he would have been higher on my list. Again, just with a bigger push. I think next year he's like one of my sleeper guys to look out for next year. That could be an MVP candidate.
Yeah, we'll have to see if he gets the GHC heavyweight title and how he does on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll talk about Kenno a lot more in the coming weeks.
Yep. Outstanding performance. Yamato.
Yay. Oh, Yamato.
Yeah, Yamato of Dragon Gate. So, I didn't watch much Dragon Gate this year, but from what I heard from the Dragon Gate fans is that Yamato's title reign wasn't exactly that well received, and to give him the Outstanding Performance Award was very much criticized by a lot of people.
Yeah, I know. And it was weird, because I've seen this award take on three different names. You've seen Outstanding Award, you've seen Special Award,
yes,
Most Distinguished Service.
The reason for that is that at first I had the translation. I had the translation not... I had the translation wrong, because all those three are the right translations for that award. Outstanding Performance, Distinguished Service, and Special Award. If you take the kanji of that award, you can name it whatever you want of those three, basically. So it's Outstanding Performance. That's what I named it, yeah.
Okay, I was a little confused on how to judge this award, but I'm going to take it as the most outstanding when you look at this here. Yamato, like you said, Dragon Gate fans were not happy with his title run. I think a lot of people think he's better as a heel than a babyface as well. I think that's a big thing when it comes to him. And Dragon Gate always seems to be pushing these guys that were pushed like 10 years ago, you know, 8 to 10 years ago, and Yamato is one of those. And you saw the title reign with BB Hulk a couple of years ago that got a lot of that same criticism, and I was a big fan of that run. But like you, Dragon Gate's not always on the top of my wish list when it comes to wrestling, but I have watched a little bit of it, and I like some of their guys, but they won't be in this award for me. My top five were, number five would be Kotoge, again, just pure in-ring. I love Kotoge, he's awesome, everyone should watch his matches, he tries really hard. My number four was Shotaro Ashino, another person we've talked about a bunch already, and he's really good. I think you can figure out those two guys. Number three for me was Yuji Okabayashi, as someone I think, despite his injury later on, his unfortunate injury, I think if he had stayed around, he would have had even better, great matches throughout the year in the Global League. But he had a tremendous year, starting from, the second day of the year, his tag team with Sekimoto versus Ishikawa and Sato. That match was incredible. If you haven't seen that, a really hard-hitting match. He had my match of the year with Hideki. Done a lot of great work. I love Okabayashi. He's a great wrestler. Everybody knows this. Number two would be Ishii. Tomohiro Ishii, obviously. He had an amazing G1, amazing tournament, amazing year. When given the opportunities, even against someone like Omega, who I think I run hot and cold on, I think he brought the best out of him. And he's someone that I can always look forward to delivering. My number one, Hideki Suzuki. I love him. He's awesome. Everybody knows this. And those are my choices. Those are guys that I really thought had the best years this year. I think if you listen to the show, I think those five really fit into what you would think. I would say, based on the people we talk about and we say, and I really enjoyed all five of those guys a lot this
year. Yeah, definitely. I want to add to that list Shotaro Ashino and Kenno, because I
said Ashino.
Oh yeah, right. You said Ashino,
yeah.
but you didn't mention Kenno in this award because both of them had outstanding performances in their respective company, and I think you can also make a case for Kento Miyahara again here because he's just outstanding. And when I look at the tweets that I got, for example, here Masaki Mochizuki was named one time. As I mentioned, I haven't seen Dragon Gate a lot, but I'm very happy that Mochizuki got another reign with the Open the Dream Gate title.
His match with Susumu was really great.
I haven't seen that yet, but I'm for sure gonna watch that. So, and another man one mentioned was, I think he was mentioned twice, once by Jojo of the Japanese Audio Wrestling, Shuji Ishikawa, because he really had a great year coming into All Japan and becoming a very legitimate main event star for All Japan Pro Wrestling. So, I think he has a case here too. Yeah, and that's about it for that. Oh no, one person I want to mention is John of Wrestling Omakase. He nominated Daisuke Sasaki of DDT. Interesting choice as well, because Daisuke Sasaki, he is holding three championships, or two championships at the same time, I'm not sure right now. He, for example, today, as we're recording this on December 17, he defended his independent junior heavyweight title against Taka Michinoku, and he also is the DDT Extreme champion. So in the world of DDT, Daisuke Sasaki could be a choice for most outstanding.
I think Sasaki too. I think a big thing about him is his character work and his things of the nature. My one thing I can know before we move on, I want to argue this a little bit. Not necessarily that he's not awesome, because he totally is. And when we've seen when giving him a chance, what he can do, I just think this year he wasn't given any opportunities. If you look at most of like the Noah year, he really didn't do anything outside of one match with Kotoge and one match with Nakajima, which I didn't actually like that much. I think the match in October was a lot better than the January match they had. The match with Kotoge was really good at June 4th. But besides that, you're looking at somebody who's teaming with like Daisuke Ikeda in a joke tag team, like literally a comedy tag team. And I that hurts my heart so much. I said this, I was on John's show and we talked about Noah, and I said that made me physically ill to see that tag team. So I cannot give Kenno the award for the whole year because I hated that tag team so much. And also just because he really didn't do anything this year. No, there's no fault of his own, just bad booking. No, pretty much.
Fair enough.
He did great in the Global League though. I think he's in 2018. He's gonna have an awesome year. He's my number one like sleeper person to watch.
Yeah. Kenno. Okay. Right. All right. Final award. The final real award we have to talk about is the Rookie Award. That was won by Yuma Aoyagi, and a lot of people questioned that decision. The voting process is that you have to be wrestling for under 3 years when the voting is done, and so Yuma Aoyagi debuting on December 14, 2014, barely made the cutoff date. And, you know, I like the approach that in Japan you're considered a rookie for much longer than, for example, you're considered to be a rookie in wrestling in Europe or in the US. So Aoyagi being the choice here, last year he was in the Super J Cup, didn't perform that well, so he wasn't the choice back then. This year he had a much better year, got his revenge on Taichi in some ways, also won the All Asia Tag Team title with Naoya Nomura. So when you look at the voting standards here, I think Yuma Aoyagi is a choice that you could make.
I guess it's partly me, my own thinking, because I am so used to that, you know, more traditional rookie means rookie.
I know what you're saying.
But I can, according to the award, you know, guidelines, as long as you set out a guideline for an award, I don't mind really going for that. But to me, why isn't Ashino up there then? Right in there, you know?
Exactly.
And I love Aoyagi. I love Aoyagi a lot. I think he's awesome. I'm so happy he's away from Taichi for forever, hopefully. Although I actually really liked their match. That was one of Taichi's best matches, I think, that they've ever had with Aoyagi. So Aoyagi's awesome. I love his tag team with Nomura. I hope they have great success. But in terms of what I was looking for, I kept it to more traditional rookies, to not give it to, cause Ashino's always been, already been mentioned in like every award, I think, on my list. So, I wanted to keep him away, and Oyagi, to me, has been around. He's not a rookie to me, but I do like him, though, so I have no problem giving him an award. My picks, just going through them quickly, my first one was Yuki Ueno of DNA and DDT, someone that I think gets kind of underrated a lot. He's kind of in the shadow of Higuchi to a lot of Western fans, but I think he's someone with a lot of upside in DNA and DDT. My number four pick was Yusuke Okada, the other Okada in All Japan. I think he's done a great job. We were talking off air about some of the things he does and some of the great matches he's had, and I think he's someone that you really got to watch out for. I think he's got a great future. Number three would be Hirai Kawato, who obviously I think everyone watches New Japan and everyone knows how awesome he is. And
yeah,
I think
there's no discussion that Hirai Kawato has to be considered among the top rookies.
I love him a lot. I think he's the one with the most upside of all of the young lions that they have. So congratulations to Kawato there. He's doing great stuff. My number two would be Yuya Aoki in Big Japan. I think he's someone that's kind of, at first I was like, wow, he's pretty good. I like him as a young lion. But as the years went along, I think he has been right up there with Takuya Nomura in a lot of ways. I think he has kind of taken his torch of last year and totally ran with it. I love Aoki. I think he has a lot of upside, especially in the junior division. I think he's someone that can really carry Big Japan's junior division. And if they do want him to move up, I think he's someone that would add a lot of depth to their strong.
Oh, definitely, yes.
And my number one, though, was from Wrestle One, the land of the rookies, Takanori Ito,
yes!
The Japanese Kevin Owens. everyone loves this guy, and I love him, too. He just, like we said, like we started at the top of the show to kind of bring it full circle to the awards. He just challenged for the Wrestle 1 title this year, and how impressive is that for someone in their first year to be doing that? I think he deserves the award over anyone else for having to suffer being the result champion and carrying that stupid belt around so much. I think he is he also has fighting spirit as well, nomination for that reason.
Yeah, definitely. I also have Takanori Ito here, I have Yuya Aoki as well, and I have Hirai Kawato. I want to add two more names to the list, first of which is Katsuya Kitamura, because Kitamura... Thank you. because Kitamura is just so impressive, and he has gained a lot of following, performing in New Japan Pro Wrestling and kind of adapting Goldberg's gimmick in New Japan. So he's in the focus of a lot of people, and I think he can also be considered here a top rookie. And one more name, he isn't exactly a rookie anymore because he has been around since 2015, but he still qualifies for being considered here into this category. It's Fuminori Abe. Fuminori Abe is someone who came from Sportiva, very small company, but they have very good wrestlers coming out of their dojo. So in 2015, he basically performed for Sportiva, for Freedoms, and for Heat Up. And this year, 2017, he really was wrestling in a lot of companies, for example, All Japan, DDT, Heat Up, Guts World, Freedoms, Big Japan, IGF, for example, as well. Zero One, Wrestle One, and also in Dotonbori Pro Wrestling he was. So Abe is getting more and more recognition and could be considered a rookie too, because he's just that damn good.
Yeah, totally. I love Abe. He'd be my number one probably if I counted him in my awards. I think he's totally awesome. And someone along with Iwamoto, who we talked about earlier, just like I said, I think with those two on the roster, the future is bright in All Japan. If they can keep Abe around, hopefully they can keep him around even more. And I think he's someone, wherever he goes, good stuff follows. He's got such a unique and cool style. I think he's someone that could challenge for a technique award in the future with Abe's style that he has. A great wrestler, a great choice on your part.
And I want to quickly go to Twitter here again, because she was named twice here, once by We All Falter and once by Grism here on Twitter. Hana Kimura is the rookie of the year. Another choice that was made here as I browse through it was Naomi Yoshimura from DDT. And mentioned twice or three times, I'm not sure, Shota Umino. Shota Umino already shows that he could be a upcoming prospect for the heavyweights in New Japan.
Yeah, totally. I really like him, too. Son of Red Shoes. I hope he really has some good stuff going forward. I also just wanted to say real quick about Kitamura you brought up. I think he's someone that has done well to really stand out with his look and things that he's done. Not just his body, but with the grill that he has in the ring. And he's a very memeable wrestler. I think that's added to his popularity in the West, especially. I think he's very memeable.
Is that a word, actually?
I just made it up. If it's not, but you get what I'm saying. And I think he could be someone like Zeus in All Japan.
Yeah,
he could be that for New Japan. I think so. Great choices all around. And thank you for. I'd like to shout out all the people on Twitter who gave us props and gave us nice nominations. Thank you so much, everyone who did.
There's another one because it's 3 years in the business, you know? Shihiro Hashimoto.
Yeah, totally. Such a unique style for Joshi wrestling. I love her amateur blends of that. And she has great power moves, too. She's an underrated power wrestler as well.
I want to go to Ian's choices at Skrunk Style because I really like his choices here. I want to go through them. He nominated for MVP Tetsuya Naito, Best Tag Team Koji Doi and Kuma Goro. They were an amazing tag team this year in 2017. Did very good work in Wrestle One. He nominated Chihiro Hashimoto for Women's Wrestling Grand Prix. Best match was Kento Miyahara versus Wama in his estimation. Fighting Spirit, Katsuyori Shibata, Technique Award, Guts Worlds Daisuke, Most Outstanding, Shuji Ishikawa, and Rookie Fuminori Abe. So overall, Ian, great choices here.
Yeah, I love the shout-out to Daisuke. I'm very sad he's retiring.
Yeah, he has already retired. Oh.
Yeah, I know. It sucks. But he was really good, though. Totally good pick on your part.
He's a great pick. Yeah, so a lot of great choices we got here, and I think, we got through all the real quote-unquote awards, and there was one more award. It was a special prize handed out to Yurina Matsui, who is the star of the TV Asahi production Tofu Pro Wrestling, and she's also in the idol groups AKB48 and SKE48.
You know, actually, it's funny, because a friend of mine who really likes Joshi told me about her months ago, probably very early in the year, for her TV show or whatever, about wrestling, Tofu Pro Wrestling or whatever the hell it's called. And I saw a little bit of their show. They actually ran a special show for like the actresses and the idols to wrestle in. And it's very interesting. Let's just say. And I think Jirina, I think somebody did like an Emerald Flosion on that show, and I think it might have been her. And
good,
I was like, "Wow,
good God!"
I was like, "Wow, that's very brave of you to do this." And it looked exactly how you would think untrained people doing it would look.
It's a great idea for untrained people to go straight to the Emerald Flosion.
Yeah, exactly.
Next up is the Burning Hammer.
Yeah, exactly. When I first started out, the first thing I went up right to Wolfie D and I said, "Give me the Gonzo Bomb." So I hope that's what Hollywood Jirina did as well.
Next up, Steiner Screwdriver.
Oh God! You're trying to kill these idols, Striga.
Apparently, they are killing themselves by doing an ML Explosion with very.
That is true. I think there's very little training involved.
Yeah, very little training, exactly. So those were the awards we got. I was kind of surprised that we didn't get a special service / lifetime achievement award, because you could have awarded Atsushi Onita, Manami Toyota, and of course as well Takayama, and maybe if you talk about Shibata as well. All of those choices would have been good for the lifetime achievement. For Onita, maybe they are considering that he isn't done yet, and he may return for another run here, maybe. But
unlike in Sumo.
Yeah.
Unlike in Sumo.
Exactly. But I don't know why they didn't give out a lifetime achievement award for Manami Toyota.
That's another thing I don't understand about Tokyo Sports. Some years they just don't give out awards. We talked about the Joshi Award. There was a rookie award 1 year they didn't give to anyone. It's like, Can't we just vote on someone to give these awards?
In 2015, they didn't give out a rookie award, and especially in 2015, there were so many great rookies that you could have mentioned, but, well.
What was that all about? I don't know either. I don't have any explanation for Tokyo Sports' thinking. They don't make any sense in many ways as we've gone through this list. I think we can all agree on that. But that one is definitely confusing. Toyota's retirement was so emotional. Takayama, his injury would be a feel-good story. Even if you just wanted to give it to somebody active, if you just wanted to give, you know, New Japan bought the award or whatever, just give it to Nagata or Liger, who retired from their tournaments. It could be anybody.
Yeah, for example. You know? Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you could give it to anybody. Just give the award to somebody, Tokyo Sports. God.
Right. And what we did, we added another award here because we're going to talk about promotion of the year. Dylan.
Yes.
What promotion do you have as your number one promotion in 2017?
My top promotion for me personally had to be Pro Wrestling Noah, just from a pure in-ring perspective. I loved all of their shows this year, pretty much. Even if they didn't have... And there were, as we mentioned, there were actually a lot of legitimately awesome and great matches that were Match of the Year caliber. But even besides those shows, there were also shows that everything was really good on, like that show with Keno and Kotoge on June 4th. That's something I could. That's the one promotion I think that I can watch a full card up and down, which I'm a big fan of. I really love watching the shows in full. I think it gives you a better perspective of the company. And when I watch New Japan, a lot of the early matches are not very good or worthwhile. And Noah, I can watch all the matches and really enjoy. And I think that was my favorite promotion. Just for me personally to watch, that was my favorite promotion this year.
Yeah, it's really funny with Noah because when Noah started out, it was a joke amongst Japanese wrestling fans that you just can't watch those undercards.
How dare you criticize the era of the Dark Agents, Striga?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but with guys like Hakura Egan being in their later years, or Mitsuo Momota, who, by the way, is still wrestling in 2017.
Still better than Chikara.
Those undercards were terrible in most cases. And nowadays, Noah has very, very solid undercards. There's usually not a bad match on those shows. And so, I can totally see your choice here with Pro Wrestling Noah. Those shows they put up are usually pretty good from top to bottom. And that's something that, for example, New Japan doesn't have very often. Sometimes those undercards are just not that interesting. Yeah, so I actually didn't take Noah into consideration, but I think that's a good choice if I think about it. I thought about the companies that I enjoy the most, and the companies that I enjoy the most are New Japan, Big Japan, and All Japan. And it wasn't easy for me to make a decision because all those companies this year had their ups and downs. Mm-hmm. And when I thought about those three, one company that fell through right away was Big Japan, because Big Japan, even though I really like Hideki Suzuki and even though I really like a lot of people in Big Japan, I don't think they had a good year overall.
Why was it in your top three then? If you didn't think they had a good year. Wait a minute. Now, I've got to call you out.
No. I said those are the promotions I enjoy the most.
Okay.
Those are the three that I enjoy the most, and Big Japan fell through because they didn't have a good year, so I don't have them for my top promotion. They didn't have a good year. They made some strange choices. Some matches, some match endings were questionable. They did a lot of rematches in recent months, and just I don't know.
I mean, I totally agree with your stance. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So, and then New Japan. Has the problem in my mind, it's the problem that we talked about before here on the show. The road to Wrestle Kingdom is so patterned that it's just not very interesting.
Yeah.
while the G1 Climax is my absolute favorite period of the year, every year, and also shows like Invasion Attack or Power Struggle were amazing. There is just the Road to Destruction Tour, for example, that was not that good, and also the World Tag League wasn't impressive, so the months from August to December in New Japan, they have to rethink that. And
yeah,
this leaves for me All Japan Pro Wrestling. And we talked about the booking of All Japan Pro Wrestling a lot here on that show. But when I thought about it, when I look at All Japan Pro Wrestling in 2017, what they accomplished is that they established a new main event scene around Suwama, Ishikawa, Miyahara, and Joe Doering. All of those four had the Triple Crown this year, and they managed to turn those guys, well, Suwama already was, but they managed to turn those guys into legitimate main event stars for what All Japan is in 2017. And so, overall, while, of course, there were some bad decisions, but you have some crazy decisions everywhere, usually. Overall, I can say All Japan Pro Wrestling is my number one.
I think that's a fair point. All the things you just said, they definitely did, and you can see with Tag League, their real World Tag League,
yeah,
their finals, they clearly are building a fan base, and things continue to be good for them right now. For me, I'll just go through, because those two of those were on my top five. I'll just quickly go through them. My number five was WrestleOne. I really enjoyed watching them this year, just in kind of the way of watching, as I always say, kind of like a baseball team that's traded away all their big stars. And I think seeing these young guys grow is kind of enjoyable, and I really love Ashino. I really like Inaba and Doi and Kumagoro. I think those guys are all really good. And I can't wait to see where WrestleOne goes, although it's not perfect, clearly. My number two, which was right behind Noah, was Ice Ribbon. As I mentioned again, I think they have some booking of any company. I could follow their shows and not think something crazy is going to happen a lot of the times. And their wrestling's pretty good, too. They have good wrestling, but more importantly, I think following them is a lot easier than other companies because they do things how I think they should do them in terms of booking. And they've created a strong ace in Risa Sarah. My number four, just to go backwards a little bit here, was New Japan. For the reasons you said, I think the same thing is totally true on your part. Everything you said was completely true. Their match quality was very high at the top end, though, this year, which I think carries them a lot of the way. I think their main event scene, really their top 10 to 12 people, have all had some sort of great match this year, and I think that's something that no other company can really boast that kind of thing other than New Japan. But the problems are there, and I absolutely hate the junior division with Hiromu. I think they totally botched that so bad. And the tag division has completely worthless as always.
So, and that's one point that put All Japan over the top for me, because they have a very strong emphasis on tag team wrestling, and tag team wrestling is what Japanese pro wrestling in modern days has been built on. Starting in the early 50s. And tag team wrestling is very important to All Japan, which could be seen in the Real World Tag League, and you gotta check out the finals from December 12th. It was an amazing show from top to bottom. That put All Japan over the top for me.
Yeah, All Japan, my problem with their tag team wasn't necessarily something of their doing.
Yeah.
It's more just all the injuries.
That was very unfortunate, but they made the best out of it, I think.
They tried. Before this tag league, I don't know if I would have said that, but I think the tag league really helped them and gives them some momentum going forward. But just my problem with All Japan is their booking has been so maddening. The second half of the year, even more than Big Japan. Big Japan, I completely agree, they've done some things wrong. But All Japan, to me, just it's very frustrating. It was very frustrating watching more than any other company. They were the company I didn't like watching out of all of them. Despite some good matches, I had one of their matches in my top five, and that Suwama Miyahara match was incredible. But I can't say I really enjoyed their product, honestly, for the last few months of the year. But the first 5 months, I would say, and that's kind of, I guess I'm kind of saying the same thing, because Big Japan was my number three. I think their first 5 months, people forget how really, really great they were.
Yeah.
You had matches with Sekimoto and Suzuki's feud, Suzuki wrestling Okabayashi, Suzuki and Kamatani. Their first match was really, really good. That was Kamatani's best match ever in terms of a singles match, arguably. And you had matches like Okabayashi taking on Nomura was an incredible match in April. The tag team with Strong BJ versus the Twin Towers was a truly great match. Even Uto got a title shot, and it was pretty good. The death match was, you know, they did some good stuff in the death matches this year. I think Takeda has been a strong point.
Oh yeah.
In the death matches, I think the death matches have done, you know, if you're a fan of that thing, you'd really like it. And even if you're not a fan, I wouldn't say I'm a fan, to be honest, of death matches, but I think they are enjoyable to watch for what they are, even for me. And I think Suzuki has been a brilliant champion. Watching these shows, I think it definitely emphasizes to me how great he is in terms of smaller matches, not necessarily having... If you were to say, like what I mentioned him earlier is the most outstanding, if you were to say who has the most 4-star-plus matches, Hideki Suzuki would not be a consideration. But in terms of great performances, singularly, he makes every match the best it can be for the most part. And that's what I really love watching about him. And to add on one more point about Big Japan to defend them, they restarted the junior division.
Yes.
And they've done a great job this year of emphasizing that with people like Shinobu, Yoshino, Kazuki Hashimoto, and Nomura are all juniors, as well as people like Aoki is getting a title shot, who we mentioned about. So I really enjoyed that.
And Kankuro Hoshino, for example.
Yeah. Well, listen, the division, there's many challenges when it comes to the title. So don't hold everything against them.
I'm not saying that Big Japan did everything wrong this year. Obviously, the points that you pointed out are perfectly fine, and first half of the year was very good for them, and I liked Ryogoku Tan, but there were some months where they didn't really make very good decisions.
No, of course not. I think I feel the way about All Japan that you do about Big Japan.
Yeah, maybe.
I hated that. Oh, I hated that match so much. If we were doing the worst of awards, I think Suwama and Kojima would be my least favorite match of the year. Because I remember watching that show Tai Chi going over Ayagi, and I was like, my mind was flustered at that whole show. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. But yeah, so just some. I think a lot of what they did was, and putting Yoshitatsu in the main event was not a good idea at all for anyone involved.
No.
But they are starting to rebound. I think the tag league really helped what they did, because it showed, hey, this company can be great. But even then, on the tag league and going forward, look at who's getting the next Triple Crown title shot, Striga, and how they booked him this year.
Let's not talk about that.
Oh, yeah, see, exactly. So even then, they're still doing kind of crazy stuff that I can't fully get. I can't fully throw my.
Can you explain me why Takao Mori and Junakiyama are getting a shot for the All Asia Tag Team Title?
Listen,
they lost to the champions.
Listen, this is wins and losses isn't always in wrestling. This is about bad decision making. That's what this is about. But I don't know. I don't understand anything in All Japan right now, booking wise, and that's why I have a hard time getting into their shows recently. And it's so weird because it's not like this company was always crazy, but for some reason, the last 6 months, 6 or 7 months or so, things just have totally fallen off the rails for me in All Japan. That's why I can't get behind them. But there is a lot of stuff to like in All Japan if you just watch the shows from an in-ring perspective. There's a lot to like, and their roster is awesome. I hope in 2018 that we can have a return to form in terms of behind the scenes, and we can say how great All Japan is again, because there's just some stuff I don't understand when it comes to All Japan. That's really my feeling on them.
Yeah. Yeah, all right.
That's
about it, I guess. Please, just like you mentioned, just like you gave us your thoughts on the Tokyo Sports Awards, please give us your thoughts on our nominees. You can tweet your opinions on our nominees at the both of us. I am at Twitter at Striga, STRIGGA, and you can also find me, of course, at cagematch.net and at purulav.com. You can also tweet Dylan about his choices here on his Twitter.
Yes, my far superior choices to Tokyo Sports Awards. Honestly, both of ours were way better. But if you want to tweet me and talk about any sort of wrestling, we had some great conversations yesterday talking about Yoshiko and Joshi wrestling and all sorts of crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I love talking about wrestling of any kind, any sort, anything you want to talk about. Talk to me at DylanZeroSky on Twitter. And please listen to my other show on MLW, which is called Lucha Talk, a show where we talk about lucha. And I think we'll be recording tomorrow as we're recording this. Probably by the time this show drops, we'll have already recorded the show. We'll be doing a very similar show to this for Lucha Libre. So everyone can check that. If you haven't caught all of Lucha Libre you wanted this year, or you kind of, you know, you're just kind of a new fan, or you haven't seen as much as you'd like,
yeah,
check out that show and you can see a lot of recommendations and kind of a good wrap up of the year.
Yeah, that's me. I would really like to watch more Lucha, but I really sometimes, yeah, I don't take enough time to get invested in Lucha.
Spoiler alert, this year not watching Lucha was not an unforgivable sin. Because it wasn't as great of a year as it's been in others. Before we do go, I'd also like to plug an appearance it will either drop by the time this show releases or it'll be in the very near future. I recorded a podcast with Quentin Moody of the Pro Wrestling Only / Place to Be Nation. We did a show about pro wrestling aces, and we called it The Art of Stardom. We talked about aces, top guys, golden boys, people who failed and were overpushed. We talked about all sorts of people and all kinds of wrestling, so I think it's a really great show. So check out Psychology's Dead. He's done a lot of great work on his show, too, in terms of ranking wrestlers and matches on his show. So everybody check that out. And before I go, Striga,
yeah,
there is one more thing I want to say before we both go. I think, since this is the year-end show, kind of, what do you think will happen in 2018? Oh. Really, what kind of prediction do you have for that?
Ah, damn it. I forgot to think about that. Well, for this year, I predicted that New Japan and All Japan would work together for the 45th anniversary, and that kind of happened.
Yeah.
Wow. How about you go first, and I think about it.
Okay. So, yeah. My prediction earlier this year, too, was almost right, because I predicted that Kai would leave Wrestle 1, which he did. But I said he would go to Noah, and he went to All Japan, which has worked out just fine for him. And so we were kind of both like half right in our predictions. Let's see if we can get it all the way right this year. So 2018, a new year. I think my prediction will be on New Japan this year. This is what I wanted to talk about. I predict that for their New Japan America, their New Japan USA, I think there will be an announcement of a full-time live TV deal for New Japan in America, whether it's for Access or another show that they have planned. I think that they're going to make a big move. I think they have bigger plans than we maybe originally thought, and I think there's going to be some big moves when it comes to New Japan America this year.
Yeah, that's a very, very good prediction, I think.
Hot take, baby.
Hot take.
That's bold. Right?
All right.
That's bold.
Okay. I'm gonna go. I'm not, for my first prediction, I'm not gonna go out on a limb very much, I think.
Okay.
I predict Atsushi Onita will return to pro wrestling in 2018.
Oh, come on. Stevie Wonder can see that coming. Man. You know,
I got others. So,
okay.
I predict that both Shuji Ishikawa and Yoshitatsu will sign a full-time contract with All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Oh, that would be cool.
Next year, and I predict that Zeus in 2018 will win the Triple Crown.
Oh, that would be really great. I don't think it's going to happen on this next defense.
No, sadly not, but I hope so.
If they build him up, though, that would be great. He's still someone that has a lot of cachet with the All Japan fans. My second prediction for Noah, since you had three, I will give three. My second prediction is for Noah. I think that this is just kind of a vague prediction, but I think they will have a very successful year in 2018, and we're going to see them turn around, have an All Japan-esque resurgence. not necessarily up to quite as big as they've gotten, but I think there will be a resurgence in Noah this year, and it's something that you're going to want to pay attention to if you are a fan, led by, of course, the Fist King himself, Kenno. And for one more promotion, I will say about All Japan, my prediction is that Hikaru Sato will go up to heavyweight and compete in the Champions Carnival this year.
Wow.
That's my prediction for All Japan. I really love Sato, and I think he's someone that's done it all in the junior division, and I think he's someone that could move up this year.
I also have another prediction for Pro Wrestling Noah, as you just talked about it.
Yeah.
And it's also not a... It's also a pretty vague one. Prediction is... Leona will wrestle more in Pro Wrestling Noah, and Leona will, by the end of 2018, be a solid professional wrestler.
You know, he's actually shown signs that he's not as terrible as he used to be, but still, watching him is kind of... He usually has one very comedic moment in his matches.
Yes.
Like... Remember when Kumano had him in the torture rack and how he sold that? Yeah, so that would be awesome. I totally hope that's true, because he's faced, much like Yoshitatsu, he's faced so much criticism in his career. Yeah. So to see him kind of be better on that end would be very fun. I would really enjoy that. I hope that prediction comes true out of more than any of them. And yeah, I guess if I were to have one more, I'll throw one out for Joshi, because Joshi never gets. But my prediction is that Matsumoto, Hiroyo Matsumoto, will sign a full-time contract with one of the promotions.
Name the promotion.
I'm not naming any promotions.
Oh, come
on. I think it would be either Stardom or OZ Academy.
Okay, I would have said OZ right now.
Yeah, exactly. I think OZ is where she's going, where she has her sights on. I think some companies are going to want to nail her down, even though she's a freelancer. And freelancers is very profitable in the Joshi world. Side pick for Joshi. I will say one more thing, just add on to Matsumoto. I predict Shuri will have a successful run in MMA in 2018.
Okay.
So I represent Shuri. We miss you, pretty much.
We do. Yeah. Well, okay. So let us know what your predictions are for 2018. We already mentioned our Twitter tweet, your predictions at us, and we'll mention them in one of our next episodes. And I guess this has been it for this week. Thank you for listening, and goodbye.
Merry Christmas. Sayonara.
This is the MLW Radio Network.